for me and avenge me for my adversaries. I face an enemy stronger than I. There is no day you will not answer when I call upon these again. Oh, I know you fight for me. You will acquit me. Stand for me and avenge me of all my adversaries. I face an enemy stronger than I. There is no day you will not answer when I call upon thee. I know, for I know. Where my help comes from. Oh, my Father, my
Father, we thank you that you are our Father and that you are our fighter. You said to us to relax, rest, for the battle is yours. Well, Lord, you see all the battles, those present, those to come, those that are coming after us because of iniquities, because of altars that have been raised. We thank you, Lord, O God, that we are surrounded and shielded by your favor and your mercy. And Lord, O God, that you are cutting down every enemy. And those that you allow us, O God, to participate in seeing defeated, we thank you, Lord, for the ability and the grace to push them down and to tread upon them. We thank you, Lord, O God, that you've made us more than conquerors. We give you praise, for your loving kindness is better than life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to see you this evening for another special time in the presence of the Lord. We are going to conclude this evening with a time of anointing as instructed by the Lord. God has a way of doing things in our lives. Sometimes it's drip, 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 and then an overflow. And so whatever it is that he wants to deposit into us, we are willing and ready to receive tonight. Amen? But before I get into the word tonight, I'd like to remind us of certain things. On the 21st, I believe it is, Sunday, the last Sunday before Christmas, we're going to have the children having a program here in the PM, and we'll like you to mark that out and be ready to participate in it. Tonight is Missions Sunday. This Sunday is Mission Sunday. And if you've not had the opportunity to seed into missions, it will be a perfect time to do so. Amen? Now, through the months this year, we've been going through eating different fruits. For example, in January, we had the power to get wealth. That was the emphasis of the fruit that God was allowing us to have. And as I was there worshiping, the Lord began to speak to me about a particular individual here today that God is going to surprise. In your thinking, you think that certain members of your family are doing much better than you, and you don't have a chance. But God's about to surprise you and bring you to a place of great affluence in him, because he's seen your faithfulness and he knows you through and through. He knows your heart and he's going to do extraordinary things for you. Amen. So receive it and just embrace it and see what God is going to do for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Yeah, so it was a power to get wealth. And then in February, we had this powerful word, healing and love. It was a double fruit, healing and love. Those two things go together. God heals us because of his loving kindness. It says he had compassion on them and he healed them all. In March, we had another word. It was restoration. Somebody say restoration. God is going to restore to us all the years that the Palmer worm, the canker worm, all the worms ate. He's going to restore. Then in April, we had another word, rest and breakthrough. Rest and breakthrough. It was a powerful word that God gave to us about resting, but at the same time giving us breakthrough. Because he is the God who is going to grant that. We're going to eat that fruit. Now, these are fruits that are coming forth every month. Every month. But that means also that it continues to produce for you and for me. Whatever God has allowed you to taste and see that the Lord is good, he wants you to continue tasting in him. Then we came to my favorite month, the month of May. It was the month of victory, the shout of victory. Now, you will find out that there are certain things that God is going to repeat again. Not because he forgot, but because he's saying to you, verily, verily. Amen? Yeah. So, victory, the shout of victory in our midst. Praise the Lord. Then we came to the month of June, and it was goodness of the Lord. Wow. So May was what? Victory. June was what? The goodness of the Lord. Okay. You'll see how all of this is playing out. Then we came to July, Mama's favorite month. Favor. Favor, favor, favor. Then it was August, and the word of God was joy, joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Then we came to September, and September, he gave us a threefold: wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. So eat that fruit. Digest it. Let it become part of you. Then we came to October, and it was commanded rising and raising. But it spelled what? Victory. The second time. Said it in May, and said it in October. Victory. Then it was November. And November was about the goodness of God. Second time. Now, what is God saying for us for December? He's going to say the third time, December, victory. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is confirmed. I want you to know that God has called you to victory, not to failure, not to defeat. He's called you to victory. When you wake up every day, thank God for victory. Hallelujah. When you go to bed every day, thank God for victory. While you are awake and while you are asleep, victory. In fact, the word of God says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. You are born again of the Spirit of God, and your other name is Victor. Amen? Praise the Lord. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even faith. Even faith. You know the amazing thing about that? Is that your other name, other than Victor, is faith. Faith is what God births. Come, come, come. Faith is what God births. When you're born again, God gave birth to faith. I don't know if you heard what I just said. When you got born again, God gave birth to faith. That's you. You are walking faith. You are faith because you are born by the Word. And you were filled by the Word. And the entrance of God's Word is the entrance of faith. Hello? The entrance of God's Word is enlightenment. You're not blind, you're not confused. You are faith living out life. The Word of God says that you were crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live. Not just you, it is Christ that lives in you, and the life that you live by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. Guess what? It is his faith that's living through you. Guess what? If it's his faith that is living through you and you dead, then it's faith that's powering you. Did you get that? You are powered by faith. You're existing by faith. And the faith that is living in you is an eternal faith. You are eternally faith. Are you hearing? Did I confuse you? If you don't understand, wave at me. Everybody understands? Okay, that's perfect. Now, don't know it in your head. Know it in your spirit that you are faith. And when faith speaks, mountains move. Hello? If you have the kind of faith, God's kind of faith, you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. And if you don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. You are the embodiment of faith. You are the one that God spoke into. Psalm 33 tells us that God breathed and created everything. But guess what? When he created you, he breathed into you also as the first man. And man became a living soul. So if he created everything by his breath, and the Word of God tells us that he created everything by his word, then what God breathed inside of you that made you a living soul was his word. So God, and when he into you, his word came inside of you. And his word is pregnant with faith. And so when you speak, faith is released. That means that nothing shall be an obstacle to you because you have the capacity as the embodiment of faith to move it. I don't know if you're hearing. If you're hearing, are you understanding? When I'm talking quietly like this, that's when I'm loading you up. So listen real good. You are, see yourself as faith in motion, and whatever the problem is, it's got to move because You are the presence of the Word. You are the presence of faith. You are the presence of God. It's got to move. So when they tell you about problems, don't start quaking. You'll say, this mountain also shall be removed. I am the manifestation physically of the presence of God. This mountain, you move out of the way, out of the way. Because God's presence abides in me. I am one with God. The Word of God says we have the same Spirit of Christ. Not a different Spirit. We have the Spirit of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We have the Spirit of the Christ. It's in you. It's in me. Stop thinking of yourself as just human, ordinary, a mere man. You're not that. Not when you got born again. Not when you got born again. You stopped being ordinary. You became who God is. Because you were born of God. God gives birth to God. He is the Father of lights. God is the Father of lights because He is light. And in Him there's no variableness. There's no shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us. And He says, every good and perfect gift. Say with me, every good and every perfect gift proceeds from the Father of lights. Every good and every perfect gift. Good, perfect, gift. Good, perfect, gift. Good, perfect, gift. Proceeds, comes from, heads out from the Father of lights. You came from light, you are light, and the light shines, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. You're not meant to be understood by the systems of the world. God wants to do extraordinary things in you and through you that dumbfounds the world and makes the world wonder how. How? Because you are moving in a dimension of the favor and the goodness of God. God calls you good. Jesus said, no one is good but what? God. And now He calls you good. He's saying, you're God. He calls you perfect. And the world says, no man is perfect. But God says, you're perfect. And then he says, you're a gift. Wow. I'm a gift. What are gifts meant to do? Gifts are meant to be given. When problems come, I will answer that problem by showing that problem you. It's all the Word of God says. So you become a problem solver, a solution producer. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, we've got to receive all of that by faith and believe that that's who we are and move in the confidence of that knowing. I don't have any problem that cannot be solved. I am the solution. Because God who lives in me is the solution, so I'm going to let God be God. Every day, I will let God be God today. Praise the Lord. I keep on asking, are you understanding? Are you getting it? Well, then that's how you and I must carry ourselves. The world might think, you are arrogant, you are proud, you are so confident. I don't like you. You could care less. Because when the problem hits them, they'll go find that person who is the problem solver, the solution bringer. You're not in the shop, everything is falling apart. As soon as you show up, things start falling in proper order. After a while, they will know when it's not here, there are issues. When it comes, issues are solved. We better not separate ourselves from him. And before you know it, you're determining what your income is. Because you have the power, not because you're part of some union, but because you are in unity, in union with God. Hallelujah. That's the best union you can be part of. Glory be to God. God is for me. God is for you. Who's going to be against us? There is no limit to what we can accomplish. But we must begin to see ourselves in the light of how God sees us. When you see yourself from that perspective, then the enemy has no choice but to respect you because you are coming from a higher rank. Amen? You have the rank of the one who is sovereign Lord and King over you. You have his backing. In the police of a city, there are different levels. Here we have the RCMP and we have the local police. Now, the local police can be doing something and an RCMP guy comes and he's coming from a different backing. He's not coming from a local backing, he has federal backing. And immediately his jurisdiction changes everything here. Just like in the States, you have the FBI and you have the local city police. When the FBI comes in, they have autonomy. You know, the local guys don't recognize Yeshua's, you know, his badge. This guy is come here and come to take over. Well, when the enemy is operating and doing whatever it is that he's doing, even when it is legal, and please understand what I just said, even when it is legal, because God deals in legalities, and the devil knows it. The devil knows it. But when you, from a higher rank, because you come in the presence and the authority of God, step into the situation, even when he has legal rights to do whatever it is that he's doing, he's forced to stop because a greater authority stepped in. Hello? So you and I need to know who we are. I've been authorized to cast out demons, to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So because I came and because I'm now involved in this matter, even though the devil had the right to take this life, because I have authority to stop it. Praise the Lord. I have authority. That's why we don't bury people here. Because there's an authority that supersedes that and says, you don't die. You're not going to die. Now, there's an authority that supersedes that authority that I operate by, that you're now operated by. That's the authority of your personal will. When somebody has wills that they want to die, until I convince them that they should not die, they will die. It's just the way it is. But if I can convince them to believe God and they turn it over, life flows back in. And it doesn't matter what they said before or did not say, this authority, by the grace of God, supersedes whatever they did before. It's called the mercy of God. Someone said mercy. Mercy. The mercy of God. And so many people live because of the mercy of God. You say, Pastor, what are you saying to me? I'm saying your presence is the presence of God, and your words are the words of God that stop even legitimate situations from happening when the devil is involved. Are we getting that? So you and I must carry ourselves from a totally different position, in recognizing that we are chosen of God. I am the chosen of the Lord. I'm the chosen of the Father. And his grace is sufficient. What God says is what will be. Amen? Hallelujah. And the realm of the spirit is higher than the natural. I'm just flowing as the Holy Spirit is leading me. I had something else that I thought and believed that the Lord wanted me to continue on. But this is the direction he's taking me now, so I'm going to continue for a reason. His reason. As sons and daughters of the living God, we must begin to see ourselves as he sees us, not as we see ourselves, nor as the world sees us. The world sees us with wrong glasses. We see ourselves with the wrong lenses. God is the one who sees as it is. And he sees it as he sees himself. Let me say that again. He sees your situation as he sees himself. God doesn't see himself defeated ever. So when he sees you, he sees you from the perspective of how he sees himself: unstoppable, unlimited, unhindered. And he says, you're more than a conqueror. Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon said, what are you talking about? Is there anybody else here? Who is he talking about? Gideon is busy hiding, and God is saying, thou mighty man of valor, you're an awesome guy. Are you serious? Yeah, what I said. That's how I see you. He says, I have given you the land. We've not even stepped in it. You say, you've given it to us? Yeah, it's yours. Go, step into it and take it. My uncle that I've shared with you about quite a few times through the years, passed away maybe about 4 weeks ago. He's the one I was like second to the last in class. I think we're 21 students in the class, and I was coming out 20th. I was smarter than only one person. I knew very little. Part of the problem was that I was born in a city called Lagos, and my first language was the Yoruba language. I spoke primarily Yoruba. That's the language that Rabbi Boku and the rest of them speak. Very little English. And we moved to what was then called Midwest. There was the Northern Province, Western Province, Eastern Province, and the Midwest. My dad was a businessman. He got involved in politics with a party called NCNC, and we moved to the Midwest. The capital city was Benin. That's where we were. And I went to school there. I was supposed to be in class 2. They held me back to class 1 because I couldn't speak English. In that little then, I said, forget this language. That makes it impossible for me to go ahead. Little. And do you know? I forgot that language. It just gone. That's why I can't speak Yoruba to Brother Reuben. It was gone. Just like that. Anyway, cut a long story short, that's partly why I was in the back of the class. But one day, This uncle of mine, oh man, did he ever whoop my tail? He was after me. He called me all kinds of names, and he had a switch. Pow, pow. Discipline. I remember I was forced to learn how to do math because I was tired of the beating. This guy was ruthless. And he gave me some arithmetic work to do. And I had all the answers right, but he marked one of them wrong. And I said to him, why did you mark it wrong? This is supposed to be, the answer was supposed to be like something like 36 or 136. He said, that is not a six. I said, but it is a six. He said, no, that's not a six, that's a zero. I said, but I'm telling you, it's a six. Pow! Because the six did not have a long enough tail. He said, it's zero. What was it trying to get me to do? Make sure that I did it right. It wasn't that he hated me. It was that he wanted me to have it right. And with all of that whooping, I loved him. He was a great uncle. Why did I tell this story? Because one day, I had a dream. And in this dream, I saw a blackboard, and I saw the number 2 on the board. I woke up, and I told him, I said, I'm going to be second. In this exam, I'm going to be second. Pow! Pow! You're going to be second. In what world are you going to be second in your class? No. I'm running, he's running after me. We did the exam. I brought my result. I've moved from 20th to second. I said, you see it? He said, that's just a fluke. That's just a fluke. Next semester, I saw that board again, second. I said, I'm going to be second again. We shall see. Sure enough, I'm second. The only person beating me was a young man called BC. I still remember the name. I don't remember anybody else's name, but I remember BC. BC was the son of the owner of this private school. He was the only one beating me in the class. We moved somewhere else. From there, during the Civil War, and I saw it. One. I'm going to be first. I am going to be first. And that's exactly, why do I tell you that story? In the realm of the spirit, God is showing to you what you are about. Amen? Even if you don't have the skills, and all of a sudden you start seeing yourself singing amazing songs and writing songs, know that in the realm of the spirit, that's who you are. Now, the devil also plays that game. He will show you things that he wants to do. And if it is not good, because God's word says, every good and perfect gift, talking about you. If it is not good, you have the right to reject it and say, that is not my portion. Get away from me. I see what you plan. God has revealed to me what your plans are, and they are brought to naught. And you begin to prophesy what you want. Don't just counsel it. Prophesy what you want. The enemy is coming and telling you that you are sick, you have arthritis, you have cancer, you have whatever. Counsel it and declare, I am walking in divine health. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen? Say what you want. Don't be declaring what you don't want and leaving it like that. Say what you want. You shall have what you say. When you say to that mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things you should say shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. In essence, you shall have what you are saying. What you are saying. Be consistent. It's not just, okay, well, I said it one time. No, keep on saying the same thing. Keep on thinking the same thing. Keep on dwelling on the same thing. Continue. If you continue in my word, then you're going to be my disciples indeed. My disciples are those that I've raised up and disciplined in their thinking, in their actions, in their attitudes. He says, if you continue in my words, you are going to be my disciples indeed, and you will, in your continuation in that word, know the truth, and the truth that you know becomes the truth that makes and sets you free. Your freedom is in your continuity. Freedom is in your continuity. If you are a move and stop person and you don't continue, you're in trouble. You got to continue. Now, continuing does not mean that it's always easy. It's that you're disciplined enough to know that I don't stop until I finish. I have to finish. I started, I will finish. And the enemy brings this distraction or brings that distraction. You forget about all of those distractions. That's where I'm going. The enemy will throw all kinds of things into your life just to distract you. He'll bring all kinds of friends into your life just to distract you. But be disciplined enough to know what you want. Because you are not always going to be that person that you are today. A doctor didn't just become a doctor. He became a doctor because he disciplined himself to continue. While everybody else were jumping around and partying and whatever else, his head is in those books, studying. He's in the lab studying. Everything he's doing, he's studying, working at it. And one day, he has the capacity and the ability to have all kinds of fun if he wants to. And the one who's busy jumping around, having all kinds of fun, having all kinds of friends, have their pants hanging down beneath their bum. That's a testimony of what you're going to be like down the line, naked and ashamed. It's just the way it is. You've got to continue. Be fervent in faith. Continue. Steadfast, knowing that God has a calling and a purpose for your life. And you want to accomplish it. You don't want to be distracted from doing that, because God will call you to account and say, this assignment that I gave to you, what have you done with it? He's going to ask me. He's going to ask you. And any kind of excuse I want to give is not acceptable, because God does not live in the world of excuses. And the reason he won't accept excuses is because he is in you. And his capacity in you is what is going to move mountains. And God did not say that he's going to provide and meet all of your needs according to John Doe or Jane Doe, but according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. According to his what? Riches. His riches? How did those riches? Well, you are rich towards God. You'll reach towards God. How? What did the Word of God say? How do we become rich towards God? You don't have the answer, or you don't want to give the answer? Huh? The treasures of your heart. Okay, we warm. Doing His will. Well, that's warm. That's warm. How do we become rich towards God? It's one word. You should know this word. Huh? Given. Ah. That's good. It's through giving. And my God shall supply your needs according to His riches in glory. But what is the context of that statement in Philippians 2? The context of that statement is the context of giving. Giving. That's how you reach towards God. And He supplies all of your needs according to His riches. How did He get His riches? Through giving. Guess what God's wealth is all about? It's not the gold and the silver. Just like a man's life does not consist on this stuff, God is saying, I am consisted of you. You came out of Him. You're part of Him. That's why you return back to Him. God is rich with you. I know this is hair scratching, hair losing stuff that we're talking about. But God counts His wealth. By counting you. That's what makes me rich. You know, some cultures, when they think about riches, they think not just in terms of flock, they think in terms of the family they have. In fact, when people look at me and I tell them I have so many grandchildren, and I have great-grandchildren, they say, huh? You've got great-grandchildren? I say, yeah, I got two. He said, man, you're rich. You're rich. They're not talking about, they're talking about people. You're rich. God wants to gather every one of us. Breathe into us, because we become His living presence in the world. He's rich because of me. I'm rich because of Him. And that wealth comes because of He. Given, because that's how I became part of Him. Him giving Himself. And me giving myself to Him makes Him rich. I'm rich towards Him, and He's rich towards me. How rich are you? Let me conclude. I'm not going to make too much of a commentary on this particular passage of Scripture. It never ceases to amaze me how the Lord directs me to speak from a particular passage, and then He goes off on something else, I think, okay, we're not talking about the same thing, and then I find out it's me that was not recognizing that we're talking about the same thing. Somehow he gets it back to where he wants to go. But all of it is meant to be for us. So come with me to Psalm 50 real quickly. I'm going to read primarily through it and then make a little comment here and there. The mighty God, even the Lord, had spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. The fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. We come into covenant with God by sacrifice. The heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. Now watch this. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I'm not going to reprove you concerning that, that you do this continually. No, I'm not. And the idea is behind that statement is you should know that this is not about me, it's for you. It says, I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds. I won't take any animals from you. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I will not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. It's all mine. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? But watch this. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. God, make up your mind. Do you want it or you don't want it? And the idea he's giving to us is, I don't need your stuff. I don't need anything from you. If I take anything from you, it is for your benefit. Even when you sacrifice anything, it's not for me, it's for you. He says, offer, verse 14 again, watch this. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows, your commitments unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. Remember what we talked about this morning about watching and praying? That in Luke 12, the word watching is synonymous and connected to the word giving. Well, he says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. When? When you've offered thanksgiving and honored your vows. Then call me. Pray, but give and pray. And then he goes and says, but unto the wicked God said, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes? Or that thou should take my covenant in thy mouth? Seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee. God is saying something. He says, when thou sawest a thief, you saw a thief, you consentest with him and has been partaker with adulterers. You consenting with thieves, those who rob God, and you join yourself with adulterers, those that are not committed in their relationship to God, and they're fooling around with plan B, plan C. They have all these contingencies. They have this, all these side chicks. This is, you got a problem, and you want to speak my covenant? He said, thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Now, consider this. Ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorified me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. We've got to offer God praise and order our conversations aright, and he will show us his salvation. Everything God asks us to do is for our benefit, not his. God is sufficient in himself. Let me say that again. God is sufficient in himself. He didn't need any of us when he created this universe. But he calls you and I to be part of it. And says, I've put my words in your mouth so that I can establish the heavens and the earth. I thought, God, you created it already, but I want you to participate. I want you to speak my words, and I keep on doing it. God wants you to participate with him. In the speaking and the turning around of things that are wrong and making right of them, in the pulling out from destruction a newness. Because remember, he got the land out of the water. He got the birds and the animals out of water. He called them to be. They were all buried. And he calls them out. He who called light to come out of darkness is calling you and I to take the same stance as we follow him in doing the same thing by the speaking that comes forth out of our mouths. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's do one quick thing, and then we're going to pray through the anointing times. Remember what we said earlier about God breathing into us, and his breath were words. Remember that? Okay, so do this with me so you see how God did it. Put your hand in front of your mouth and say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. God is good. God is faithful. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay. When you did that, did you feel your breath? You felt it? Because as your words were going out, breath was going out. In fact, you cannot speak without breath. Hello? So when God spoke, God was breathing. And when God was breathing, God was speaking words. You are word filled. Use those words appropriately. Amen? When you pray in the words of God. But as we have learned, two things work together. In the giving of life, God was speaking. In the giving of life, God was giving his life. It takes the giving of life to birth life. Amen? Let me say that again. It takes the giving of life to birth life. Anybody will tell you that when a woman is giving birth, she is closest to death. Every woman that is giving birth is closest to dying to release that child. She gives everything. Her pregnancy is 9 months of giving, letting this strange thing that she cannot see grow inside her, cause her to be shaped and in pain, going. That is life-giving. That's why every child needs to celebrate their mama. Thank God for your mother. Gave you all of herself, and then you're born, has to feed you, has to take care of you, breastfeed you, and all of that is constantly given. At some time, that mother and that father need to see you grow up, and they can say, this is my wealth, this is my riches, I invested in this one. Let your children, my prayer is your children, be a blessing to you and not a curse. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to bless those that are on Zoom and let them be. I did mention we're going to have an anointing service tonight. And if you have some oil with you, I'm going to anoint my hands with oil. If you don't have one, that's okay. I'm going to stretch my hands towards the screen, and it will be like laying hands on you where you are. Receive the anointing of God. Let him make you the victor that you are called to be. Let his peace garrison your heart. May his joy be your strength. Whatever it is that God wants to impart onto you tonight, I am declaring that it will come upon you. It will pursue after you, overtake you, and cause your past, your present, and your future to be signed off as a blessed life. In the mighty name of Jesus, that you represent him, the King of Kings, like never before, that you be a testimony of God's goodness. I'm declaring today that those enemies that are standing in your way, oh, hallelujah, that you push them down right now. I want you to stand up wherever you are, in your home, right here, and go like that. I'm pushing down every enemy and treading over them. They shall not stand before me. Whoever is trying to challenge you in your life, in your business, in your profession, in the mighty name of Jesus, I declare that they are pushed down and you're treading over them. This very moment, God is your father and your fighter. And as you've come into covenant with him, he's standing with you to make certain that all that he has for you, the portion that he has bestowed upon you, is not stolen from you. You have placed your treasures in the heaven, and there cannot be corruption, and the thief approacheth not. In the mighty name of Jesus, I call the blessings of God upon you. Abound in the wealth and the riches of the goodness of God, and may his peace garrison your heart. May you stand strong and mighty in the mighty name of Jesus, and let every mountain move away from you. God has made a way for you. The word of God says, as we acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways, he will direct our path. May your path be directed now by the anointing of the living God. In Jesus' name, shine as light, and the darkness will never be able to comprehend you. Overwhelm the enemy with the wisdom of God. In Jesus' name, we decree it so done. Amen. I call you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Now we will leave those that are on Facebook and YouTube, and the rest of you can just come, form your line over here, and I'll just lay hands on you based on the direction of the Lord and what